The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are they trying to win? Are they not trying to win? What does it all mean? To talk about that, we're getting real existential right now with our next guest on the line is Odyssey NFL insider, the great Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious. Ross joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Please grade my mayo read for you.
That was like a 9.75. I do this in a lot of cities. That might have been the best I've heard. I haven't given out a 10 yet, but that was incredible. 9.75 is the highest I've ever given out. Hmm. I don't know if any human being is capable of doing better than you just did. That was super impressive, actually.
Wow. I will do better.
Wow.
Way better than other cities. I have two things that we need to talk about. You guys know how I like to kind of take over the show when I come on.
Yes.
So number one, I forget the name of that song that we were playing coming back from break, but it was like, darn it, darn, go in it now. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it's Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah. So you know what's funny? That took me right back to high school and college.
Yeah.
Because that's what all the guys wanted to listen to before games and practice, and like they love that. Now we'll get them all amped up and motivated for the game. I never liked that stuff. Like when we were lifting in the weight room, that never pumped me up. That never, I don't like that music.
What did you need?
Rocky IV soundtrack.
Okay, that's also pretty epic.
Yeah, yeah.
Rocky IV soundtrack or like Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight. Who knew, by the way,
was that Baker's
that
song?
A 5'5" British dude was so into high school football. It's crazy.
Okay, so there's two things. One, you lost me at Phil Collins and somehow got me back with In the Air Tonight. The thing is, though, it would just need to start at the if it doesn't.
No. The slow crescendo is like what makes it
hard.
But
pass.
What's funny is like, all the dudes that were like the headbangers and like listening to whatever that, you know, Metallica and whatever, like whatever they thought was like hardcore, I would still just smoke them. You know what I mean? Like I could listen to Alanis Morissette, Isn't Ironic or something, and then we go out in the field and I would just kill them.
That might have to do with just talent. Apparently metal doesn't make you a good football player. We'll find that out. You know,
all right, so the next thing is this. Right now, this week, what percentage of the conversation on your show is about like the red hot Cavs and how good they are versus the Browns?
I think it's 50-50.
It's pretty close. Yeah. Yeah.
That never happens though, right?
Like no,
mid-November for it to be 50-50 has got to be unheard of.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron's in town. Yeah. I mean, it's well, and I think JP's been in on this. That's really smart. If they were in 11-1, we might talk about them about 10% less. But because they're undefeated, it adds a little extra oomph.
Right. No, there's no question. Did they play the Sixers tonight?
They do.
Okay, because I was on in Philly today, and obviously Embiid and Paul George don't play in back-to-back, so neither one of them are playing tonight.
Yeah, so that means we're just going to extend the winning streak.
13-0.
I grew up a Sixers fan, but I'm now the type of fan that, for like the Phillies or the Sixers, just wake me up when they're in the playoffs. like there's so many games that when they're in the playoffs and it feels like it really means something, then I get involved, which I don't know, based on his quote, maybe Jedrick Wills is just waiting for the playoffs.
I will say, I think that makes you a front runner, Ross.
Just a little
bit. Guess what, Nick? It 1,000% does, and 12-year-old Rossi absolutely despises fans like 45-year-old Ross. You know what I mean? Like, I used to live and die every night with Mike Schmidt and Charles Barkley, and I hated the fans that just got into it when they made the playoffs. Now that I'm married and have kids and all jobs and taxes and whatever, now I'm that guy. Like, you think I'm going to watch the Sixers tonight get smoked without their three best players against the Cavs? No, I'm not. I'd rather watch. I'm going to watch Maxion tonight.
If you're a real fan, you'd watch the Sixers tonight. But you mentioned Jed Wills' business decision. Kevin Stefanski said, oh, we just didn't know what that meant. Basically, just playing it off like he's a dummy. What was your read on Jed's business decision comments?
Well, first of all, I love Stefanski. You know that. Second of all, you know, it's his fifth year. So I'm like okay with a comment like that if you're a rookie. It's the guy's fifth year. I mean, he's not a he's been doing this a long time. He's met with the media a lot. You know, if he doesn't know what business decision means, then that is probably one of the reasons why he has not reached his physical potential as a player, right? Like, if you're – like, I don't know what his awareness rating is on Madden, but we should probably lower it, you know? I mean, that it's not a good sign. But I read the quote, and it was like – it was a business decision. I want to go out there because my knee was bothering me. I can't believe they didn't just give me my starting job back. It's like, hey, Jed, first of all, they probably already decided they're not going to pay you. So it makes a lot more sense to put DeJuan out there. And secondly, I didn't watch the whole Chargers game, but DeJuan played well in the Ravens game I called for CBS, better than Jed had been playing. So I would have left DeJuan there. I mean, it makes all the sense. It makes all the sense in the world for a million different reasons to just keep DeJuan in there at this point.
Let me ask you, have you seen much of the Saints team? They're in a weird spot, and it feels like the Browns should be able to get a win, but we've said that a lot this year, Ross.
Well, guess what the Saints are saying? Saints fans, Saints radio, feels like we should get a win and go on a win streak here. It's interesting because the Browns got the new quarterback boost from Jameis against the Ravens and then came back down to earth the next week. The Saints just got the new interim head coach boost from Darren Rizzi this past game, and now we'll see if they come back down to earth. You know, they both have things to play for. Jameis is trying to prove that he's a starting quarterback again and whatever, and Rizzi is trying desperately to do whatever he can to win enough games that he might somehow get the full-time job there in New Orleans. That's why I always laugh. I actually have an article coming out this week for the 33rd team where it's like people will look at these games and be like, oh, these are meaningless games, or they're playing out the string, or these people have nothing to play for. It's actually the opposite. And I've been in this situation a couple times because there's going to be change and probably a decent amount of change for both these teams. You better play your you-know-what off. Otherwise, you're part of the change. And even if you are, you better be play well enough that somebody else picks you up.
Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. So one of the conversations that came up with this just disaster, just stinker of a Brown season, 2-7, all this, was whether or not we were wrong about this team calling them playoff contenders, maybe Super Bowl contenders in the preseason, and that maybe we were wrong because they're not that talented. Is this season all about a talent issue for the Cleveland Browns?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, I don't think so at all. In fact, look, we all saw what they did at the end of last year with Flacco as their quarterback. Okay, that's like, those games happened. That was real. Okay? And then coming into this year, what did they do? They added Jerry Jeudy, which felt like a much-needed option opposite Amari. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you know, to have some of the guys they brought in, bring in Jordan Hicks. I mean, it felt to me, you know, to get another edge rusher in Zadarius opposite Myles Garrett, I would say, unless I'm missing something, I felt like Andrew Berry checked every box I would have checked coming into the year. And then what happened is the quarterback played really poorly. They lost some close games. And I would say somewhat surprisingly, some guys that we thought they could count on really dropped off. Amari being chief among them. I mean, I can think off the top of my head of like two games that the Browns probably would have won if Amari was last year's Amari in those games this year. The O-line injuries totally wrecked any chance those guys had of being cohesive up front. We knew they didn't have Chubb. I would say if you wanted to argue about a box that maybe Barry could have checked more, it might have been backup running back, you know, or another running back. But in fairness, I kind of like Foreman. And, you know, Ford was who they had last year, you know, when Chubb was out. So I don't really blame them for not thinking, hey, we need to get another running back. So, no, I think some of the guys they had played worse than they thought. I think the O-line injuries killed them. And the quarterback killed them, obviously.
Ross, you know, I love the NFL. You love the NFL. But, like, the past couple weeks, it feels like it has not been great football. It feels like the game has been a little bit down. Is it just because the Browns are in such a bad spot? Or do you feel like the game week in, week out, and maybe it'll uptick in the upcoming weeks as we start getting more divisional games, but do you feel like the product just isn't as good as what it typically is?
Well, so I don't. So here's why I think the product's not as good. And I wrote about this, that they're going to publish it tomorrow or Friday. I don't ever remember having this few mediocre teams. There are 11 teams, guys, with 3 wins or less. It's week 11. It's November 13th. And 11 teams, more than a third of the league, have 3 wins or less and feel like they're totally out of it. I mean, the only one of those teams I think has a prayer is probably the Dolphins. They're 3-6. They played better since Tua came back. They won Monday night. Their schedule's very favorable coming up. I think I saw somewhere where they have a 25% chance to make the playoffs. But there's also like 10 good teams. I mean, you know, there's 3 games this weekend with involving 2 of the top 7 teams in my power rankings. Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers. Like, there's some awesome games this weekend, but there just aren't that many teams in the mix. There aren't that many teams in the middle. The NFL usually prides itself on, there's usually like 5 really good teams, 5 really bad teams, and then 25 to 27 teams that are in the mix, in the hunt. Like, you know, the networks will show the in the hunt graphic, and it's like, what? I can't ever remember this early, this many teams and this many fan bases feeling like they're totally out of it. They have no shot, already talking about next year. I mean, I'm either on in Philly and like Kansas City, where all they talk about is how great they are and whatever in Super Bowl, or I'm on with you guys or Boston, and the hosts just argue with each other over whether or not they want the team to win or not, or whether they'd rather have a better draft choice. It's just wild. It's just a wild year. It's always about parity. It's always about every team supposed to finish 8-8, now 9-8 or whatever. And yet there's just very, very relatively few teams that are actually in that middle zone.
Ross, Deion Sanders has multiple times hinted at steering Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter to more desirable places in the draft. I'll ask you, does he have that kind of power to steer either player in the draft from a place like, let's say, the Cleveland Browns?
Well, forget saying the Cleveland Browns for a second, but I think he does, and I think it probably scares the crap out of the teams, because Deion knows the business. Those kids have already made a pretty good amount of money from NIL off the field. He's going to have teams drafting high that he wants them to go to, like the Raiders and maybe the Cowboys, and I don't know what other teams. And I think teams are going to have to do a lot of due diligence to make sure that they would be on board, because he would be the type that would not be afraid to have them sit out a year or whatever. Like he would do that. You know, I mean, there's a reason why Archie Manning knew the deal too, and Archie Manning carried through with it, and the Chargers knew he was serious. And I think the teams know Deion's probably serious. What I think is actually more interesting about that is whether Deion is looking to parlay this into getting an NFL head coaching gig. Do I think he wants to stay at Colorado without his son? No, I don't. Now, I asked him that point blank when I did the Colorado State game earlier, and he said that he's got a bigger purpose, and he loves what he's doing and all that stuff, but this would be his leverage point to try to become, I don't know, the Raiders head coach and say, that's where my son will go and I'll be his coach. You know, and by the way, there are teams in the NFL like the Raiders that I can see going for that. You know, Mark Davis just sold part of his team to Tom Brady on a crazy discount just so that Tom Brady was one of the co-owners. I mean, people in business and life don't do that. Yeah, Tom Brady, great. They don't give him like a 50% discount on whatever it was, 5% of the company, because he's Tom Brady, but Mark Davis did. So that's a fascinating, like, that's going to be the topic after Colorado's season is over, is just how Deion tries to play that.
Ross, this is really great stuff. I'm going to give you a chance to grade this final read and then hit us with the later dudes. That was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider Calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious!
You know what? I even closed my eyes as you did that because I really wanted to feel it and sense it. I got to be honest with you. Because I knew it was coming, it didn't hit nearly as hard as the first one. Damn. The first one I wasn't expecting, which is probably why it blew me away. That one was more like just a 9.
Rushing judges.
I think there's something, it's like expectations in life.
Okay.
The first one, I did not know the movie was even coming, and I was blown away by it. The second one, I was expecting a great movie, and it was just pretty good.
I can live with that, and I'll see you next week, and I'm going to do better. That's all I can give you.
Well, listen, it's all about the surprise factor, like when I'm not expecting it. Anyway, enjoy the Cavs stomping my Sixers tonight, if that's what you even call the team without the three best players. Later, dudes.
Later, dudes. That was a Fairweather fan, Ross Tucker, on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, in the previous segment, always a hump day fixture here on the show, and he was speaking to what has been the latest round of Deion Sanders saying things and then people reacting to it when he was on Speak on FS1, where Deion basically alluded to that, you know, he would step in for Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter's, his two best players, if he felt like they were going to an inferior organization. And I'll get your reaction to what Ross had to say and whether you also believe Deion has that kind of power.
I don't know that he does, and I think it's interesting that because Shedeur is not, he's not Eli. He's not. We have to have at least some sort of recognition of the fact that more people than not are suggesting he's Geno Smith than they are suggesting that he's some generational quarterback. Like, you get to be the big swing, and you know what? If you have the goods. I don't know that Shedeur Sanders necessarily comes with that.
I think that's a really good point. Even Travis Hunter, I think Travis is a dynamic athlete. But there are so many different complications to where do you think he's going to be his best. I think build-wise, his build scares me. And I know we can say, well, Xavier Worthy in Texas, his build scared me too.
Yeah.
It's year one.
There's a reason why he went as low as he did while being the fastest by far in the draft.
And I mean, I think Travis is a more skilled player than Xavier. I mean, Xavier is a go-route guy. And
no, it's a great comp, though.
Yeah. But I there's something uncomfortable that happens specifically in this country where if people just say things with enough oomph, you believe them. And Deion has kind of gotten his whole, in a way, Deion has gotten from Jackson State to now Colorado. And I think he'll probably get an NFL job if he wants one.
Maybe the Cowboys.
Because he's just spoken with such impunity. And people just buy it, even though we have mounds and mounds of evidence. The guy is at least 25% full of crap.
Well, he's always been a showman. I mean, think about last year on 60 Minutes when he had won 3 games with Colorado and they interviewed him way too prematurely. The interviewer goes, so who's the best head coach in college football? And he goes, you're going to have to get me a mirror. That's Deion. That's part of his deal. But that does work in many respects. Like, Ross is like, oh, yeah, Deion knows the business. Deion understands the business. It's like, I don't know that we know that for certain. I know he knows college football right now.
That's the best way to put it. You just put it the best way possible. He knows college football. And I think, and I'm not trying to say, I said the full of crap thing. I'm not saying he's totally a bad faith actor because there's a reason kids want to play for him. But I just don't know that that translates. The NFL does not get fooled or coerced unless it's, as you've pointed out, an elite level talent, like somebody that you're terrified and missing. Like, if this isn't a great draft class, meaning like it's not just Shedeur probably isn't the best quarterback that you've seen in the draft in the last 2 or 3 years, but also the draft class in general is just okay. I think you might rather take the risk of him not showing up and call Deion's bluff then draft a guy who might be one half step below. You know what I mean? Okay, actually, maybe this is a better way to put it. Are they, if teams decide not to draft Shedeur because of Deion's threats, are they afraid of Deion? Or they just look at Shedeur and say, yeah, he's not good enough for me to be in fear of this guy?
Yeah, I don't know. The part of my brain that's going to this, I'm trying to figure out if this is do we look at him the same way we looked at Big Baller Brand? I don't think we did, because I think that was more, I think that, you know, LeVar Ball was more, there was a lot to him, but we also thought that he was going to be around a ton, and he's kind of faded off in the background.
It's almost like the NBA paid him off.
Oh, is that your theory on it? It might be. I mean,
I've had a working theory on that for a minute.
I know I can't disprove that theory, let's put it that way, but he's definitely kind of disappeared. Like, if Shedeur gets drafted by, throw a team out there, let's just say the Giants, for instance, does Deion just go to the background too, or does he just focus on Colorado, or is he trying to jockey to end up in the NFL as well?
I actually think, everything, what I get frustrated with Deion is he always says it's about the kids, and in the end, it tends to be about Deion.
For sure,
And that's just frustrating, because I see a lot of that in parenting in general, not just in sports, but especially in sports. So, to me, it just strikes me as another thing of hey, Raiders, I'll make sure Shedeur gets to you, but I got to be your head coach.
Well, that's why we've been joking, but not joking, for 2 months about the idea of Shedeur and Coach Prime both being here, as if it's a package deal. And I think that's kind of what Deion is setting up for here.
Yeah.
I think that's the end goal. He's trying to tell you without telling you, I want to be the head coach. Get your stuff in order so we can make this all happen.
It just doesn't make me feel... So here's the thing, because I said at the beginning, well, I don't think the NFL is going to fall for that. Oh, yeah, I don't think NFL executives, so GMs and head coaches, are going to fall for it. NFL owners might.
It's a lot of desperate teams out there.
Well,
there's a lot of people that buy into the hype that Deion sells.
And he...
We joke about it, but he convinces people.
Ross pulled up the name. Mark Davis is a weird dude. That dude does.
He is
not connected with Earth in the way that other people are. He's living in some other reality that allows that haircut to be a thing.
And it always goes back to the haircut.
And he drives a minivan. That's also not a great look. I don't think he has kids. If you drive a minivan and you don't have kids, I believe you should stay 500 feet away from a school.
As a billionaire with no kids, it's an odd choice.
Yeah, odd. I think is not even.
I was being nice.
Yeah, no. I think we got to be real specific here. But he or Jerry, I could see Jerry is
desperate.
Well, Jerry
makes so much sense, though. Like, Dallas makes sense. That's where Deion is a legend. It's where Deion is. I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
But firing a head coach who
Mike McCarthy is gone. I mean, that's all but done.
He is. But firing a coach who the three previous years won 36 games in 3 years for a guy who's got, 5 years head coaching experience? And honestly, not even at an elite level in college. Like, they're going to be a bowl team this year. Woo! They're not a playoff team.
If you thought you were tired of Aaron Rodgers conversations, Deion as the head coach of the Cowboys is another level.
I don't want any of that bull junk.
But here's the difference, though, is that Deion can't be the head coach and then also draft Shador Sanders because Dak Prescott's tied up to a lot of money.
That's a wonderful point. Although maybe he wouldn't. Maybe just be like, sorry, son, go enjoy Cleveland. I've got Dak now.
Go wherever you need to go. Dak's my new son now.
Yeah. Sorry, son. I'm sick of your bull junk. I'm going to go ahead and take Dak now. It's Dak Sanders. And that actually bullies Dak into taking his last name.
Dak Sanders.
Yeah, that'd be the most audacious thing Deion might actually be able to pull off there. 216-474-0092. Do you really think that Deion Sanders has the power to steer Shador Sanders in the draft and maybe away from the Browns? We'll continue on with that. And something else that Ross said... That is an absolute truth about this season. It just depends on why you think it's so. 92.3 The Fan. The 5 at 5 coming up in 15 minutes. We got bandwagons coming up in 1 hour. Nick and JP back on Afternoon Drive. Am I the only person in America who doesn't care about the FanDuel Sports Network being on Amazon for an added fee?
No, you can join me in that list of people, too.
Now, if they announce the Cavs thing, yeah. But like, even people are...
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Mad that they have to pay an add-on fee because it's not part of their Prime thing. I'm like, no, I think I'll take that. Yeah, but I don't really care either way. Like the FanDuel Sportsbook thing, like, and I hate even using that because it's really the Diamond Sports Group that have mucked this all up.
I mean, can I be honest? I know it affects a lot of our listeners, and so you have to give me a better breakdown of it. I have cable. I pay for cable. It's there on my cable. I hate that I pay for cable, but I pay for cable.
Yeah, like there was a big thing, I think, in Detroit, because this came out this morning. Tony Paul, who's one of the writers up there, put out that they're going to start offering single game subscriptions. I don't know if it's a subscription. It's just like you can buy a single game.
Okay, yeah. So like if the let's put the Cavs in play here. Cavs, yeah. Celtics next week. If that's the one you wanted to watch,
yeah.
You could pay $9 and watch that game.
So it's $6.99.
Okay.
And everybody was like, yeah, $6.99 is too high. You're right. But I think $4.99 a game. Right? Because if you think about it, if 6 months of it were $20, $20 a month, it's not. It's going to be higher. But if 6 months of every single game was $20 a month, that's $120 over that time. So you start to think about, $6-$7 increments. I mean, the reality is they're just trying to push you to get the full subscription.
Yeah. I wonder how this will affect the teams themselves, because it does make you then, you have to be competitive. Because if not, then no one's going to subscribe to your one-off games, and in turn, they're not going to make any money.
So
the deals are going to go down. If you try to tank and try to go through a five-year, we're going to do nothing. Like the Pistons, you bring up Detroit, and I think about the Pistons. They had bad lottery luck, but for 5 years, they've been just a nothing burger of a team. No one cares to watch. There's no Pistons game you're going to even pay the $7 for.
I mean, there will see, but I think that I do think if it's like LeBron in Detroit, you might catch a couple Pistons fans. But I do agree, like, it is a slippery slope. I'd be surprised if teams got much of this money. I think this has been a crux.
It won't be this contract, but the next contract will be based off of what happens in this contract.
Okay, that makes sense. But no, it's funny, man. Like, I guess my thing is, if you don't want to watch a single game, then just don't pay for it. You know what I mean? Like, again, in a way, if they're giving you multiple ways to watch it, and, well, I don't want to pay for cable. Well, I don't want to pay $6.99. I mean, listen, if you can't afford it, then I really feel, then I feel like true empathy for you. But if you just don't want to, I don't know. Like, if it, like the whole point for a really long time with baseball specifically,
yeah,
is you just couldn't watch it no matter what you would do, right? Oh, well, you can have the MLB Network thing, but it's not for the local team because there's local blackouts.
Yeah, the blackouts.
Well, and then this happened, and this happened. You got to jump through this, and you got to have cable. You got to have this. Oh, but this app works for this team in town, but not this one. It does seem like the teams and leagues and networks are starting to come around to, we'll give you five ways to watch it. You just have to choose how you want to pay. That does feel more fair, even if it's still is somehow passing the cost on to consumers.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I don't think $7 a game is going to make too many people happy, but at least you're giving them the option.
Not for Detroit teams.
Not for Detroit. I mean, who's gonna do that?
I mean, they are 5-7. JB's got them at 5-7.
They did have that big Lakers win.
That's right. I mean, this is, some are saying that the 5-7 is like the Cavs 12-0, and the people saying it are members of the Bickerstaff family.
Yeah.
So we had Ross on in the two segments ago. And you asked him something that you and I have talked about off air, but it was about the quality of football this season, the quality of the NFL season we've had. Here's what Ross's answer was.
Here's why I think the product's not as good. I wrote about this. I don't ever remember having this few mediocre teams. There are 11 teams, guys, with 3 wins or less. It's week 11, and 11 teams, more than a third of the league, have 3 wins or less and feel like they're totally out of it. I mean, the only one of those teams, I think, has a prayer is probably the Dolphins. They're 3-6. They played better since Tua came back. They won Monday night. Their schedule's very favorable coming up. I think I saw somewhere where they have a 25% chance to make the playoffs, but there's also like 10 good teams. There's 3 games this weekend involving 2 of the top 7 teams in my power rank. Commanders, Eagles, Chiefs, Bills, Ravens, Steelers. Like, there's some awesome games this weekend, but there just aren't that many teams in the mix. There's usually like 5 really good teams, 5 really bad teams, and then 25 to 27 teams that are in the mix, in the hunt. Like, you know, the networks will show the in the hunt graphic, and it's like, what? I can't ever remember this early, this many teams and this many fan bases feeling like they're totally out of it. They have no shot. Already talking about next year. It's just wild. It's always about parity. It's always about every team supposed to finish 8-8, you know, now 9-8 or whatever. And yet there's just very, very relatively few teams that are actually in that middle zone.
He did seem to agree with you that it was that this football season isn't the same. And he kind of put it to, it was just the lack of parity across the leagues. We have 10 really good teams, and then we have probably 12 to 13 stinker teams.
We put out 11 3-win teams. That's the number. And last week when we talked about this type of thing, it was like, well, we have 9 2-win teams. And you see how we're moving it, you know, week by week. I'm just looking at this as the product on the field. I'm seeing what I'm seeing over the previous 2 weeks. And I don't know, maybe, Nick, maybe we just had a couple bad 1 o'clock slates back-to-back weeks, so it just kind of feels this way. Maybe we have too many field goals because we got records field goals this year. I don't know. Maybe it's too many bad quarterbacks. Maybe the developmental quarterback conversations, a real convo. I don't know what it is, but I know when I watched these games in the previous couple weeks, it hasn't been the same as what it used to be. At least it feels like to me for right now.
So I think Ross is part of the picture. Can I give you the simplest answer?
Yeah, because sometimes, Occam's razor, the simplest answer is the right answer.
I think defensive coordinators are just winning this year. I think offense is garbage this year.
It might be. We've wondered for a couple years now at what point the defense was going to catch up. And I know early on in the season, a lot of people are looking into that. Like, exactly what you're saying. Like, are the defenses, did they just find a way to get to a spot where they're just better than what the quarterbacks are right now? And we haven't seen that in so many years.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the prevalence of too high safety. I also think you just understand, if you're able to play too high safety, that means you're able to drop more guys in coverage, plus the strategic advantage of what you have. That also means you're probably getting home with four pass rushers. And it doesn't matter if you're Mahomes or Jared Goff or Skippy, the backup from that nobody's ever heard of, Tyson Bagent?
Tyson.
Definitely him. It doesn't matter which one of those quarterbacks, the more you can pressure those guys, the more they're going to struggle. I think it's that simple. But the good news is I do think this is cyclical. I don't even know it's going to stay for the rest of the year. Like, I imagine after Thanksgiving, the more you give quarterbacks, like great quarterbacks, like Mahomes, I'm trying to think of the other, like Joe Burrow, I think the more they are going to eat, and I think the more it's going to course correct. But I think where this impacts is the middle of the NFL. Guys like Jared Goff, guys like Baker, that's who I think it makes look worse, ergo the rest of the offenses look more mundane.
See, I was going for a different answer there, and I like that you kept it to on the field, because clearly there's something different happening on the field. I just wondered, you look around, and the Steelers, for instance, hadn't played a team in the division yet, God bless you. The Bears hadn't played a team in the division quite yet, and I just wondered if it was something to do with the idea, even the Browns, how many division games we have left on the schedule, if just for some whatever reason when they were making the schedules this year, we left so many divisional games in the back half of the season. And so we've had a lot of weird AFC versus NFC matchups early, and they just don't have the same juice that a lot of people love. Like, watching the Browns play the Giants is just nowhere close to watching the Browns play the Ravens, even if the football is very similar.
Yeah, usually in the NFL, suck versus suck actually turns out to be okay. This year, it just feels extra garbagey. 216-474-0092. I think you and I are in agreement on this one. Is the NFL worse this year? Or does it just feel that way because the Browns are one of the teams that really stink this year? We'll have more on that as the show goes on. But we have the 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.